Shri Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Siddha Rigadara Shri Jigor Bhakta Vrindagi Jaya Shri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagrava Shama Kunda Varakrati Giri Gopadaki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Navadabdaki Jaya Gaga Jumana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Ananda Gauri Vaishnava Vrindagi Jaya Samaveta Bhakta Vrindagi Jaya Gopra Vrindagi All glories to the Samadvaris, all glories to the Samadvaris, all glories to the Samadvaris, all glories to Shri Guru, Shri Guru, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Srimani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shanyavani Paschantane Vishatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Arjavasthi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 7 verse 36. Akeshana nam hi danam salochanam Teneha nirvatita sadhu satriya. Katam vigarhyam nu karom yadishvara. Auroda samrishati yena durmati.
Auroda samrishati yena durmati.
Of persons who have taken to austerities.
Of persons who have taken to austerities.
He certainly. Dhanam. Wealth. Sila. Collection of grains. Unchana. Collecting grains left in the marketplace. Tena. By that means. Iha. Here. Nirvartita. Accomplishing. Sadhu. Of the exalted devotees. Satkriya. All pious activities. Katam. How. Vigarhyam. Reproachable. Nu. Indeed. Karom. I shall execute.
Adishwara,
all great governors, Paurodasam, duty of priesthood, Krishyati is pleased, Yena, by which, Durmati, one who is less intelligent. Translation of exalted governors, various planets. The true Brahmana who has no material possessions maintains himself by the profession of accepting Saloncana. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, householder Brahmanas who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance maintain themselves and their families and perform all the necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? First class Brahmana does not accept any rewards from his disciples or Yajamanas. Practicing austerities and penances, he instead goes to the agricultural field and collects food grains left by the agriculturalists to be collected by Brahmanas. Similarly, such Brahmanas go to marketplaces where grains are purchased wholesale, and there they collect grains left by the merchants. In this way, such exalted Brahmanas maintain their bodies and families. Such priests never demand anything from their disciples to live in opulence, imitating Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. In other words, a pure Brahmana voluntarily accepts the life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Not very many years ago, a Brahmana in Krishnanagar near Navadvip was offered some help from the local Zamindar. Raja Krishnachandra, the Brahmana, refused to accept the help. He said that since he was very happy in his household life, taking rice given by disciples and cooking vegetables and tamarind leaves, there's no question of taking help from the Zamindar. The conclusion is that although a Brahmana may receive much opulence from his disciples, he should not utilize the rewards of his priesthood for his personal benefit. He must use it for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next 37, all of you are my superiors, therefore, although accepting priesthood is something reproachable, I cannot refuse even a small request from you. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. Text 38. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishwaroop, surrounded by the demigods, performed the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. The word samadhi now is very important. Samadhi means complete absorption with undiverted mind. Vishwaroopa, who was a learned Brahmana, not only accepted the request of the demigods, but took the request seriously, performed the activities of priesthood with undiverted mind. In other words, he accepted the priesthood not for material gain, but to profit the demigods. Such is the duty of a priest. The word pura means family, and hita means benefit. Thus, the word purohit indicates that the priest is the well-wisher of the family. Another meaning of the word pura is first. A priest's first duty is to see that his disciples benefit spiritually and materially by all means. Then he is satisfied. A priest should never be interested in performing Veda rituals for his personal benefit. Translation of exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana who has no material possessions maintains himself by the professions of the accepting Saloncana. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, householder Brahmanas who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance maintain themselves and their families and perform all necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? So this is Vishwaroop speaking again, criticizing taking up the job of a priest for someone else, doing sacrifices on his behalf. And of course, in the previous verse, he noted that one has to share the sinful activities of that person for whom he's doing the sacrifice. And here he's criticizing this person for taking money and whatnot when the Brahmana should be very self-sufficient and live undependent on others. So there are two things mentioned here, taking grains from the field and taking grains from the marketplace, the leftover grains that fall on the ground and they sweep up and throw away. Those are the things that the Brahmana is supposed to take. These, of course, are two types of brahmanas, not the only type. So these are the most extreme types of brahmanas. And probably in the last 1,000 years, there's not many who followed that process. Or even 2,000 years or 3,000 years, not many brahmanas follow this process. Simply going to the fields and taking the leftover grains and whatever. It'd be very difficult to survive by that means. But anyway, these are mentioned in the Bhagavata and other scriptures. There's four types of brahmanas, four types of kshatriyas, four types of vaishyas, and four types of sudras, etc. So, or actually four types of grihasthas especially. Grihastha brahmanas. And these are two types, but of course we also know that a brahmana can subsist on teaching scriptures and also from that taking donations, or it is permitted that one does sacrifice for others. So this is exactly what the devotees are requesting. So it is permitted, it is not that it is forbidden. So a brahmana can do this. However, one should not depend on this. So this is the point he's making. And moreover, one should not become attached to this. The brahmana who becomes dependent upon this service of being a priest and taking money and then living nicely off the money, that is condemned here. And instead, the brahmana should be austere and live very simply and take only what he needs. So that is why these two professions are there, just taking the grains from the market or from the field. That way, he doesn't... obligated to anybody, he doesn't incur sinful actions of other persons, he doesn't become attached because he doesn't get that much grain to live on. So therefore he can live very peacefully. So that is the negative side of being a priest, that he would become dependent on others. Anyway, in spite of these arguments, then he says, I will accept. Since you're my superiors and you're requesting, I will be your priest. So he is cooperative with them. And then he dedicates himself to these activities with full concentration. So in other words, he was acting favorably to the devatas, even though Brahma had mentioned that he does show some inclination towards the demons also. So he dedicated himself very nicely to trying to work for the devatas. As the priest, and then the whole next chapter is about how he gets protection, etc. So, the obligation on the part of the Vaishnava is a little different because he's not actually becoming a priest. He is giving spiritual knowledge. So he's acting as a teacher. Instead of performing sacrifices for others and getting payment, he's actually doing teaching. Now, of course, the Brahman can also teach, and then he gets some payment or donation from those he teaches, those his disciples or whatever. He can teach. They may not necessarily be disciples, but he can use teaching as his profession, more or less. But this is becomes problematic when we're trying to act spiritually. So, a true Vaishnava who is teaching and then using that as a profession, also that is not considered proper. He is teaching spiritual things as a profession and making money out of it or whatever. Not considered a good way to do things. So therefore, in the Nectar Devotion, among the second 10 Angas of Bhakti, we have the Nishads, or the rules that you don't, the things you don't do. So one of them was collecting disciples. Not having many disciples or followers. One should not have many followers. So then, of course, the commentary is, well, if there's no followers, how can we have a sampradaya? But then the counter argument is, what this means is that one should not use this as a profession and take unqualified persons to take their money or to get a following or to lecture as a profession and take money from that. So therefore there's another do not study many scriptures. So
The essence of that is don't take many, study many scriptures if it is for the purpose of becoming a professional reciter, that you make money out of giving lectures and things like this. This is not recommended. So getting a lot of learning and then using that to support oneself or to take one's spiritual knowledge and make disciples and get support from them, that is not considered to be a proper thing to do. So it all involves the motive involved. So we're not forbidden from reading scriptures and many scriptures if they're useful, but we have to employ them in the proper way, not for livelihood and whatever. There to giving knowledge is one thing, and using that knowledge as a means of getting one's own sustenance is considered wrong. So therefore, the Brahmana, for instance, when he makes his profession from teaching and doing yajñas, he can't set a fee. It is all voluntary donation. And that's the way he gets around this idea of you making a profession out of teaching or whatever. It only takes donations. So similarly with the Vaishnava, he can take donations, but he cannot charge fees for his services or whatever he's doing in terms of teaching or whatever. So that is the proper mode of conduct. Why? Is because by having these, making it a profession more or less and supporting oneself by this, one becomes attached to the material results. And consequently, one's service becomes effective. It's not real service anymore. So instead of using teaching as a service to people to help them, one is using it as a means of getting one's livelihood, and therefore the potency of that also decreases. We're not purely teaching for teaching's sake. We're teaching because we're getting some material benefit from it. So on the person's part, it becomes at best a mixed type of bhakti that we're advised to instruct everyone about devotional service. There is no provision there for charging people for that, charging a fee for that. So that is why Prabhupada also criticized one group. They were charging a fee to get mantras. So this is not proper. You take money and give them a mantra. It's not the proper way of doing things. So, therefore, the Vaishnava does not set fees on his services in terms of teaching, giving knowledge, etc. That is done simply as an act of devotion. Glorifying the Lord is a anga of bhakti, so we don't use that as a profession. That contaminates the whole process, and at best it becomes a mixed type of bhakti. So the purity of bhakti is necessary, because if we don't have that purity, then we cannot progress to the proper goal. In other words, prema is the goal. If we have mixed bhakti, we don't get prema. So definitely people can do the mixed type of bhakti. It's not forbidden, but at the same time, they should understand that the goal is ultimately different. And therefore, they have to be very, very careful. So this is more or less a warning to the devotees that they are doing service. They are not doing things as a profession and making money out of it. They have to take it in that way. Of course, that does not mean that they cannot work for a living. Everybody has to get their food. Now, the brahmana can, you go to the field and pick up the grains or whatever, but that's not very common in the modern world. So one may have to take a profession. Now, unfortunately, the varnashram system really doesn't work nowadays, because all the brahmanas are what? They're not doing the brahminical work of teaching. They're working in offices and doing other things, or teaching some other subject in the school, maybe. They're not teaching spiritual knowledge or the Vedas. So, consequently, that whole system is more or less corrupted. Very difficult to implement that system at the moment. What is to be done? in terms of Vaishnava principles, is more flexible. So, whatever one can do, one does, as long as it's not a sinful activity. And at the same time, one can practice bhakti. And this is not considered mixed simply because one has a profession or a job to do. That job is merely for supporting oneself and the family. On the other hand, when we do the devotional act, that act should be pure. So to try to mix the two together and make a profession out of our spiritual life, that also is a problem. That's where it gets mixed. So we separate the two things fine, and we can go on nicely and do our bhakti without any problem. But when you mix the two, then we'll have a problem. Yeah. That would also be there, but anyway, to charge, you know, that's another thing. To set a fee on everything you do, that's another problem. So voluntary is one thing, but you set a fee and then make your profession out of that. In other words, you support you and your family by that. That in itself, even if it's not elaborate or whatever, it becomes a little bit of a problem because you're using your service as more for material support or whatever. Well, if he's teaching spiritual knowledge, then I would suppose the people who are interested in spiritual knowledge would have some piety or some spiritual knowledge by which they know they should give a donation or whatever for services done. Because in other words, if one gets knowledge also, one has to give something in return. So one cannot just take knowledge and not give anything back. So that is why there is service to guru, etc. All these things are mentioned, the service to Vaishnavas, etc. So if one doesn't have that culture, of course, one won't know. But if one is serious about it, then one would probably know that. Well, among Vaishnavas is known, but on non-Vaishnavas obviously not. But then one wouldn't generally be teaching among non-Vaishnavas. Preaching in general, yeah, but we're not going to ask any money for that because... Well, that is not for personal benefit. That is simply to maintain the program. That's all. It's something different. Begging. Oh. Well, this is something like that, but they don't beg from people. They're just begging from the marketplace, taking things from the marketplace. But that way they don't have to beg. So begging is more or less a last resort. So that is, sannyasis and brahmacharis can do that. Generally the grihasthas don't do that. That's why they go in the field instead, they don't ask anybody. Tell large Lakshmi to temple for a devotee performing services. Otherwise, can a priest, preacher take monthly salaries for his service? Well, in terms of maintenance, then of course, if one is being maintained and one needs some maintenance, then that has to be provided, obviously. In other words, if one is doing full service, then it's okay to do that. But the attitude should be the proper. In other words, we're not working for the money.
What is the difference between voluntary donations and donations being solicited?
Well, then it starts getting into more or less like fees almost. You have to give this donation in order to this service. But that becomes more or less like a fee then.
Temples also, especially small. It's not just that people voluntarily, some of them are like that, but we also actively solicit
For services?
For what?
For maintenance, for example, or
running people. Oh, well, yeah, people can give donations, that's that. But of course, we can, that is there as a facility to for different amounts of donations than different types of facilities or whatever like that. That, of course, is people should give. In other words, that's engaging them in services of some sort by doing that. But it's not a personal thing for a person is taking donations for himself. And it's for temples, so a little different.
Here is a common question. You don't ask the donation. You don't ask if they don't give money. They're not going to give money. And if they ask, what they have is this idea in this
temple. Well, that's okay for temple, I'm saying. It's not a problem. When I say individuals, it's another thing. Well, that's the idea of the donation, is the donation is that they are serving the Lord by doing that. This is for a priest. The family priest. So he has to act on behalf of that family he's working for. Okay? So therefore, he has to do his duties properly, and therefore they get the punya, and therefore they prosper. That's the idea. As for Vaishnava, of course, we act a little differently. It's not for punyas or whatever.
Yeah.